All right, so we've been discussing differences between modern orthodoxy and right-wing orthodoxy, and then between religious Zionism and Haredi in Eretz Israel. And now I want to get to the final topic, army or kolel. Okay, army or kolel. So this is coming from a guy who spent 3 years in kolel and 3 weeks in the army. Okay, but as I said in the beginning, 3 years in kolel and 3 weeks in the army. Okay, as I said before, what we have to understand, when I'm talking about these differences, these are small differences compared to the bigger picture. All Orthodox Jews believe in God, in Torah, in the importance of Chagim and Talmud Torah and Shmiras and Mitzvahs and Shabbos and Taras and Mishpacha and keeping a kosher home and all these things. And we're disagreeing on outlooks on certain aspects. Now, sometimes, certainly in certain periods of the year, it might become, you know, really vociferous, but keeping it in mind, it's a small aspect that we have disagreements on. We agree on 99% of the things. That's what's most important. Now, background. When David Ben-Gurion met with the Chazon Ish, the Chazon Ish convinced them that there should be an army deferment for the Yeshiva Bachar. They should not have to join the army. This is what the Chazon Ish said. For those who are Torah Tan Umnatan, their Torah is their livelihood, they've dedicated their lives to Torah. At the time, Ben-Gurion said okay, and he gave a dispensation to all of the Talmidei Yeshiva, and that amounted to 400 people. 400 people. Now, even then, there were Banim who were opposed to this dispensation. Or Shlomo Yosef Zevin, we have many of his firm. He wrote a scathing article called "My Chazi de Damach Tzumach Tfei," who says your blood is any redder. He felt that even if there is a dispensation, one should anyway volunteer and go into the army. Okay. Now, with that stated, today, even with Nachal Haredi, there's less than about 1,000 Haredi soldiers in the army. And there's more than 66,000 who use draft exemptions. Now, what happens when you discuss this with a Haredi person? So the first thing is, but all the Gedolim say you can't go. Okay, so this is what I want to say. I do not want to get into a whose Gadol is bigger argument. Okay? You'll have Gedolim that say X and Gedolim that say Y. And you say, but my Gadol knows more. Okay, all I want to do is, I'm going to quote a few sources. Gemaras, Rambam, the Nitziv, right, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of the greatest yeshiva of a Lashon that became the father of all yeshivas. I'm going to quote to you ideas that they said, and you can take this recording and go to any person and ask him to respond to the arguments, not to say Rav so-and-so says not to. To me, that is meaningless unless you can explain to me what's the rationale. Give me the rationale. Okay, as Rav Avad Yosef said, when he argued on early Piskei Halacha of the Ben Ish Chai, people said to him, but all your arguments, probably the Ben Ish Chai knew them and he rejected them. He goes, that's not how we decide Halacha. Probably he knew them, reject them. Give me an argument against what I said. Don't just tell me he probably knew your arguments. So here as well, I say, respond to the arguments. Don't just say, Rav so-and-so must have known your arguments and disagrees. Now, today, Haredi leadership tells guys not to enlist. They go so far as to call it Gzeirat HaShmad. You know what Gzeirat HaShmad is? Gzeirat HaShmad means better you should die than do it. Right? That's what Gzeirat HaShmad means. You should give up your life rather than do this. Wow. Right? It's like saying that my kids who went in the army, they're like Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's what it's like saying. I take this very personally. When the yeshiva guy listens and then becomes a draft dodger, so then he gets arrested. And then we have protests. We had this just yesterday. Okay? We have protests. And the protesters say, the evil government is arresting this guy because all he wants to do is learn Torah. This is worse than, you know, all the non-Jewish governments. This is worse than the Nazis. They're arresting Jews because they want to learn Torah. And this incitement leads to violence against soldiers. rocks were thrown, soldiers, police officers were injured. People who wander into Haredi neighborhoods in army uniforms sometimes get pelted with rocks. On Purim this year, in Mea Sharim and Beit Shemesh, soldiers were hung in effigy, and there were underneath it, it was like they're a malik, right? So they had dolls of soldiers hung in effigy. They're a malik. There are posters with soldiers portrayed as pigs. Okay, and these are the people that are risking their lives so that we can accomplish whatever it is we're accomplishing. So I find this problematic, right? You look in the Rambam, he talks about milchama. It says milchamas rishus, milchamas mitzvah. And Mechemes Rishus is, you know, conquering new frontiers. Mechemes Mitzvah is fighting against Amalek, fighting against this, to conquer the land of Eretz Israel, and to protect Jews against enemies that fight against them. And if so, joining the Israeli army is a mitzvah. So how is there opposition to a mitzvah? What's going on? So the first thing, what you'll hear is, that the army's a makom tuma. Go to the army, surefire recipe to lose your Yiddishkeit. Okay? And therefore, it'll corrupt our soldiers, and we won't send any of our soldiers there. Right? I hear the argument. There's a Gemara Kedushin that says, father should keep his hand on the neck of his son between 18 and 24, or 16 to 22. Two opinions. Like, this is the time he's most influenced. But first of all, okay? You don't have to go in right away. You can learn first. And you can go to segregated units. And I have a separate issue. Why do you have so little confidence in your education system? Why do you feel that here it is, I brought up my son for 20 years. He's been in my home. He's been in my yeshivas. But I think that if he mixes with someone not like him, he'll all of a sudden lose his Yiddishkeit. Why is that? Why do we not think that maybe, hey, my son will influence those around him, and they'll become more religious. What? Okay, so this is what... You're right, there are people that do. But I know, for example, my sons all went into the army, and they influenced people around them, and they became more religious. Right? In one of my son's units, the Golani unit, the yeshiva that he went in, they sent 10... religious guys to be together with 50 irreligious guys. By the time they finished, 10 out of the 50 irreligious guys became religious. They were Chozer B'tshuva. So, I'm just saying, like, here's this fear. This is one thing. Also, the religious guys that go in, guys that go learn Hezdi Yeshiva or Mechinas, and they come in, they're strong. Not the guys that aren't strong that go off to university. The guys, let's say, who are strong. So they become role models, morally and militarily. In the Israeli army, okay, here, in most armies, what percentage do you think are actual combat soldiers? In most armies, about 10 to 20%.
That's it?
Yeah.
Combat soldiers?
Yeah. In Israel, it's about 40% because we're such a small country, we need as many combat soldiers as you want. Amongst, like, the Hezder guys and the Yeshiva guys, it's over 80%. Over 80% are combat soldiers. Okay? Because they want to. Like, there are guys that will go and have laser surgery on their eyes because they want to be in, right, or just better units that they won't be able to get into because their physical, you know, would disqualify them. They look at it as a privilege. Right? Officers training. In order to become an officer, you take this course and you have to sign up for 2 more years. So, roughly half the people in these courses, 40 to 50%, are religious soldiers. Now, of the religious Zionists in Israel, that's only about 10%. So, which means 5 times their number is, you know, they're putting on extra years. They're pushing themselves. Now, what's the other argument that people will make? You don't need me. Other people can do it. So for me, it's bittul Torah. And I'm asking, like, what? Right. Now they stand around, they take pictures.
Yeah.
But it's not bittul Torah to a mitzvah. We just got finished saying that it's a melchemet mitzvah. Ram says melchemet mitzvah. So to sit there and say, well, it's bittul Torah, it's not bittul Torah upon tefillin. Why would you say it's bittul Torah? Religious view, a religious Jew views this as not only an obligation, but a privilege. Privilege to defend Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And that's, as I said, that's why officers are signed on even for more years. Right? When one of my sons decided to become an officer, I said to him, is this because you want to make the army a career? Right? This is what I thought, because he kept, you know, we kept hearing all these great things from his superiors about him as a soldier. And he said, no, but I feel that at this point in my life, this is how I can best serve Klal Yisrael. And I'm thinking, like, who thinks about Klal Yisrael? This is it. I'm worried about Klal Yisrael. Now, just as an aside, I want you to realize this is not just against Haredim, this is against you. Melchemet Mitzvah is on all Jews, not Israelis. Every Jew is supposed to go and be involved. Okay, what's another argument that Haredim say? Israel wins wars because of the Talmud Torah. And if so, you should realize that we're contributing, if not, certainly as much, if not more, than the actual soldiers. All right, to quote for you, Gemara Makos says, Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Daf Yud, Mai dichtiv ondot hayu ragleinu b'sha'areich Yerushalayim. What does it mean that our feet stood at the gates of Yerushalayim? Migaram l'argleinu shiyamdu milchama, who caused us to stand firm during battle? Sharei Yerushalayim shai oskin b'torah. Jews learning Torah in Yerushalayim. Very nice. This is quoted by Haredim. The only thing is, you know what this pasuk is from? Tehillim. Who said this? David HaMelech. David HaMelech said it from the battlefront. David HaMelech said, Kol hakavod to you senior citizens who are too old to be here in the battle with us. You young people, too young to yet be combat soldiers, while you're learning, that is helping us win these battles. But it's not said by someone who's not fighting. David HaMelech's fighting. So I always find it funny. Sometimes Haredim will quote the end of Rambam Hilcha Zrayim. It talks about how Shevet Levi didn't go to battle, and everyone could be like Levi. Right? Dedicate themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then who do they quote as this person? David HaMelech. Hari David HaMelech Alav Hashem Omer, Hashem Manat Chalki V'Kosi Ata Tomech Korali. The end of Sefer Zrayim. Very nice. If everyone be like David HaMelech, who fought all these battles and also learned, that's exactly what I'm asking you to do. Fight and learn. Okay, fantastic. So what do they say? We are like non-combat soldiers. And we sacrifice, just like they do. This is what they say. We sacrifice, just like the soldier in the field. And this is like, they actually use that word. Sacrifice, in serious nefesh. Serious nefesh in the air-conditioned or heated base medrash, sleeping on clean sheets at night, as opposed to in a muddy foxhole, you know, waiting for an ambush or a terrorist, you know, to protect Am Yisrael, or, you know, fear of roadside bombs or gunfights in Arab villages. Your sacrifice is the same. All right? I find it repugnant to even make that statement. Are their parents lying awake at night wondering if their son's legs will be blown up, if they'll be kidnapped, if they'll be, you know, killed in battle? All right? To make this, you know, analogy and say that, oh, we're also part of it, and we're, I don't know, I find it problematic. Now, an Israeli politician, irreligious politician, Yair Lapid, once made a statement that I find it hard to disagree with. He spoke to a group of Haredim and he said, you won. You won. Ben Gurion, when he said, you can have an army dispensation to the 400 yeshiva bachurim, he thought one, two generations the most, there'll be no more religious Jews in Israel. There won't be any more religious Jews. And you proved him wrong. You won. You've grown so much. Right now, 70% of the Haredi population is under the age of 14. There's so many kids being born. Right now, 32% of all first graders in Israel are Haredim. And he said, we are running out of non-Haredim for the army, but we aren't running out of Arabs who want to kill us. You're the victims of your own success. We need you in the army. We need you in the workplace. We can't have a minority taking care of the majority's needs. I'm saying, what? I think it's hard to argue with this, with what he said. I go further. Can the Haredi really say, I'm doing God's will by not joining the army? I think no. The Torah says, three people have dispensations to not going to war. Someone who built a house and didn't yet move into it. Someone who got engaged, didn't yet consummate his marriage. Someone who planted a vineyard, didn't enjoy the fruits of it. And then it says, and someone who is scared. And the Gemara in Sota argues, as a debate, does it mean scared, like, you know, scared, pissing in your pants scared? Or scared of your sins? And most poskim mean scared of your sins. So you know who should really get an exemption from the Israeli army? Chilonim. We should put in all the people who are God-fearing, that, you know, they're the ones. We should get let the other ones off. But I'll go even more. All those things that I told you get exemptions, that's only in Mechamet Roshos. Mechamet Mitzvah, everyone goes. Even a bride and a groom from their wedding. That's what it says. They leave and they go. It's the Mishnah and Sota. They go to battle.
Bride also?
That's what it says.
Yeah, and
right. That's what it says. Now, what exactly they do? Maybe they're going and they're cooks or whatever. Like, but there's different opinions in Rishonim. But it says, Kala Michupata, from her chupa.
But what's our excuse?
I don't know what your excuse is. I really don't know.
You don't have one.
Sign me up. You don't really have one. And the attitude that I feel, and I think that the general public here feels, is that the average Haredi feels that it's beneath them to serve in the army or work, and that others should tend to their needs because they're involved in the most important thing, Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah Kenega Kulam. And it's just a waste of their time to really have to do this menial work. It could be done by others. Right? Talmud Torah, Kenega Kulam. There's nothing more important. But I'll just remind anyone who says that, that so is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's also Kineged Kulam. Yeah. And Yishuv Eretz Yisrael means that you have to conquer and live in Eretz Yisrael.
It says that.
Yeah. Sure. So now, let's look at the Netziv. The Netziv in Bereishis. Perek Memdalet Pasuk Yotet. He says, Sheva Yisachar. They learned. They learned during the period of the Shoftim. But then, David HaMelech drafted them. So it says, wow, do you think they made Nazi posters of David HaMelech? So it's saying, wow, evil David HaMelech drafted Sheva Yisachar. David HaMelech felt there was a need, and he drafted Sheva Yisachar. The Netziv goes further, still in Bereishis, Perek Mem Tet, Pasuk Tet Vav. Those who aren't in the army should pay higher taxes and do Shirut Lumi. They should do some sort of national service. And in Devarim, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Tet Vav, he said, Talmid Chacham should go to the front lines to boost the morale. Learn and daven there. Give encouragement to the soldiers. Now what you have is the opposite. A couple of years ago during Tzuk Eitan, Haredi Yeshiva in Ashdod, they ran away to Beit Shemesh because they didn't want to be near where the fighting was going on. Haredi Yeshiva Netzivot ran to Bnei Brak because they didn't want to be where the fighting was going on. I heard on the radio an interview where this, you know, the broadcaster said to him, I don't get it. Don't you guys say that your Torah protects you? He says, well, of course it does. Just the sirens are distracting. Okay. I don't know how he even said that. But the opposite, the heads of Yeshiva in Sderot stayed right where they were, although they're like on the front line, and the Hez Yeshiva Kiryat Gat came to be in Sderot to make a protective shield, like the Netziv says, to be closer and to, you know, lend some sort of divine protection through their learning. Who? Those who weren't in the army. In the Hezder, Shir Bet is in the army. The other guys are learning. Okay, so they're there, and they continue learning. And why would the Netziv say, if you're not fighting, you should pay higher taxes and do Shirat Lumi? If after all, Talmud Torah is doing just as much, if not more, than the soldiers. Must be the Netziv felt that unless you're really sharing in the burden, you know, you're not really sharing in the burden unless there's some sort of meaningful sacrifice. Now, unfortunately, the question isn't about army or even about how the Haredi should spend this time. Because otherwise, I could just say the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu said. When Reuven and Gad originally said they didn't want to go and fight to conquer Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ha'achechem yavol l'milchama v'atam tishvu po? What, your brothers are going to go to fight and you're going to sit here? But it's more than that. And this is what I think it comes down to. It centers around how do you view the independent Jewish state of Israel after 2,000 years of being in Galus. If you say it's still Galus like any other Galus, which is the Haredi outlook, so then obviously the way my great-grandfather didn't volunteer to be in the Hungarian army or the Polish army, why would I voluntarily go serve in the Israeli army if I have a dispensation? Why would I? It's just some Galus army like any other Galus army. If, however, you see Yad Hashem in this historic period, hopefully leading to Mashiach, then you view serving in the IDF as both an obligation and a privilege. And that's really what it comes down to. How do I look at the state? Do I want to be part of this enterprise? Or I just, you know, use it for what I can? Now, in regard to Kollel, I personally have no problem with limited kollel, meaning the same way people are given scholarships or fellowships in universities to pursue their studies, and they're given stipends so that eventually, hopefully, they'll then go and do something with, you know, their knowledge. I think that's totally acceptable to have someone be in a kollel for X number of years. And then, now with that knowledge, go and teach, be a rav somewhere, be a dayan, you know, maybe you have to learn 10 years, but be a posek, whatever it is, 15 years, I don't know. My problem was with open-ended kollel, which is this new idea, mass kollel. We didn't have any of these ideas in Europe pre-World War II. People learned in yeshivas till they, you know, got married. And then maybe if they supported by the father another year or two. But that was it. Right, Mir Yeshiva in Europe was like age 13 to 22. Now, Mir Yeshiva is like, I don't know, 18 to you die. Very different. There's like a whole new phenomenon that got started both in America and in Israel because so many Talmidei Chachamim were killed after World War II. But now, there's more learning going on than ever before. Is there still a need to keep all these people just learning and not being productive members of society? Today, what you have is people being educated to treat work as bidyeved. Really, lechatchila, every Jew should just sit and learn. If you can't, nebuch, okay, find a job. Now, I find this weird because the husband signs in the ksuba that he's going to take upon himself the financial obligation of supporting his wife. And yet, you have all these people signing the ksuba who are assuming their wife's going to support them. I find it weird because the Gemara Kedushin, we're going to learn next year, says the father is obligated to teach his kid a trade.
Why is the wife accepted?
Because the women are now brought up to think that the greatest thing in the world is for their husband to just sit and learn Torah, and they get their olam haba by supporting them. And therefore, they're willing to work, you know, it's very admirable, because this is their education. Okay, and it's sad. You'll go and find this great girl, but and you're able to support her, and she'll look at you as like, nebuch, you know, you actually have a job. I wish you wouldn't work. I wish, you know, you would just be learning. So I do learn. I work and I learn. Ah, but you work and learn. I wish you just learned. Right? You're a bidyeved. This is the education that they're given. Okay? Fathers aren't teaching their kids. Here it is. What did we just say? 1/3 of Israel's first graders are not getting any secular education. All right, they're in Haredi schools. They're not getting any education. Because of this, we have rampant poverty.
Are the schools in the world like this? No secular education?
Yeah. Yeah. We have rampant poverty. And therefore, we have Haredi parties, political parties, doing whatever is necessary to get money for their constituents. And the welfare of the nation is secondary. Just to give a couple examples. The Oslo Accord, trusting Yasser Arafat with our security. You know who made that happen? Shas, the Haredi, you know, Sephardi party. Shas gave their votes to it, and they were promised money to their, you know, their organizations, their constituents, and this led to Oslo. Okay? The Jews being kicked out of Gaza, who signed on and gave the majority? Aguda, the Ashkenazi, Haredi parties. Why? Because they got paid, and therefore they voted for this. Right? Now, because your organizations don't make any money on their own. They need money from the government. So you are very easy. I will vote for whatever you need me to vote for, as long as you protect, you know, you give me for my own parochial needs. I'm like wondering, like, why they need the money from the government. Like, if you don't need to have an army because your Torah protects you, so then wouldn't you assume that Torah protect you from poverty as well? Why do you need to get money? Why need to go to the doctor? Torah should protect you from illness. Oh, I go to the doctor, I bribe the government to get money, but I don't need an army because my Torah is protecting me. Somehow there, the Torah, you know, Torah works in one area but not in the others. They should know, even just one generation, 1979, 85% of Haredi men worked. Now, about 50%. That's after a slight increase. It used to be less. The average salary of the Haredi man is about half of the average Israeli. Why? Because he has no training, he has no education. 60% live in poverty. Okay? And then people start talking about, oh, there's all these great programs that now start that they teach you a trade, even though you never had any education, and there are these colleges that open up for Haredi men and women to teach them a trade. Now, you should know. This is true. They open up, but guess what? You usually don't see in the articles, more than half drop out because they just find it too difficult. Because they have no secular studies, no training. According to studies, by the year 2050 is one generation from now. 2050, Haredim might be half of the Israeli population. What a drain on the economy if it continues the way it is now. Many leaders are big Talmidei Chachamim, but in my opinion, they're misleading their population into thinking that an individual learning Gemara, this is the most important thing. Nothing else matters. Not the dilemmas of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Not any contemporary social economic questions. None of that matters. Just did you figure out Pshat and Tosfos? So, what I think, that being a Torah Jew doesn't mean learning Torah. Being a Torah Jew means living Torah. And living Torah means that I'm a Kayim Mitzvah. Part of my Kayim Mitzvah means that I am involved in Mechamim Mitzvah. I'm involved in trying to care about the welfare of society, being a productive member of society, pulling my own weight, not being a drain on society. Doesn't mean that I put away my Sfarim. But I can do both. Yafa Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. Shkias, you know, this is what the Mishnah says. This is my view on it. Be happy if anyone wants to, like, you know, argue on the sources. Not just, but Rav so-and-so says no. Anyway, stop over here. Shkayach. So, it's an